My special guest today is Professor Gary Jennings, who is the National CEO of the Heart Foundation. Thank you for your time today, Professor.
Thank you.
You've written a very strongly worded perspective for the MJA about where the country needs to go to make heart disease less of a burden than it is and is going to be if we don't do something. You were obviously very impassioned about it. What are we doing wrong?
Well, it's not what we're doing wrong, it's what we're not doing. I mean, it's just important we don't get complacent about cardiovascular disease. There's a bit of a sense that it's a job done and we don't have to worry about it anymore because we meet people all the time that had this life-saving operation or angioplasty or stent or something. But it's still the number one cause of death in Australia. It's still the greatest cost burden to hospitals. It's still the most common reason for presentation to general practice, people getting their blood pressure or other things checked. It's still a big part of the pharmaceutical benefits scheme, and it goes on. So not to detract from the importance of other diseases that are perhaps a little sexier and a little bit more more attractive to policymakers and funders, if you really want to do something about the health of Australians, you've got to concentrate on cardiovascular disease, amongst other things.
I think you said at one point in your article, heart disease remains a national priority in name only. It's a difficult sector, isn't it, funding for healthcare, because everybody's trying to compete for the same finite pool of dollars and public interest. How do you go about reconvincing the government that they need to shift their priorities again?
Well, I think you can look to other areas where specific programs have been developed and they've worked. We've seen benefits from tailored kind of cancer programs and other things, asthma programs and things. And it's often, I think, that cardiovascular is just so big that policymakers and funders tend to steer away from it. But if you want to make a difference, then it's one of the big things you've got to address. And it might have been getting better over the last few decades, but we know now that the metabolic conditions associated with diabetes and obesity are going to replace smoking and other things that we've thought about as the risk factors, and probably rates will kick up by all projections in the next decade or so.
What's it costing us financially?
It's costing us many billions in direct costs, and I'm not a health economist, but I believe it's in the order of $7 billion. But of course, that's direct costs and effects on productivity, effects on people requiring care, people requiring not being self-caring as our community ages. All of these things are big multipliers, and you can come up with some very big numbers, but but it's certainly costing us both in human and economic terms.
The Heart Foundation's been an absolute champion of this for a long time. Does it feel like you're working on your own sometimes?
I'm not sure that the Heart Foundation's working on its own, because it has huge community support. And and we know that philanthropic organisations, industry, is not focusing as much on developing new treatments for cardiovascular disease because all the low-hanging fruit has been picked. But it's not so much we're working on our own, it's more that, as I said, we just need to avoid some complacency.
So if you were king for a day, what would be the first thing you'd do?
If I was king for a day, that's a very difficult question.
I know.
For a Republican.
Well, yes. Boss of the wash for the day, shall we say.
I think what we would do would be to develop a comprehensive national strategy which really covered all of life. We know that a lot of the seeds for chronic disease, particularly cardiovascular disease, are set in infancy or even prenatally, as far as disadvantaged nutrition and smoking are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So and then we've got children. We know obesity rates are rising related to nutrition and the kind of obesogenic environment that children are put into these days. Then we've got young adults with risk factors, but apparently healthy and not knowing that they're cooking up future chronic disease. And then, of course, we've got the acute conditions. And most importantly, we've got over 4 million people in Australia now living with some form of cardiovascular disease.
Yep.
So that we've got to look to the future when, as they age and develop comorbidities and require that kind of care, It won't be so much the massive acute heart attack as the atrial fibrillation, the chronic heart failure, the combination of conditions that are mostly age-related that will not enable them to care for themselves in the way that they might otherwise do. We've got wonderful treatments.
Yep.
If something happens, of course, it's much better to prevent cardiovascular disease, and we've got some wonderful strategies for prevention of cardiovascular disease. We know that if we can get nutrition right amongst kids, and that's mainly to do with the right foods and not avoiding some of the additives like sugar and salt, and addressing portion size, which seems to have got bigger and bigger in recent years. We know that physical activity has dropped off markedly, especially in girls. There's a new national program
to address that,
and that's terrific. So we know that if we were to do an absolute risk check, measuring the standard risk factors as recommended in people aged 45 or over, or Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples aged 35 or more, then we can really cone down on those who will benefit from more active preventive treatments.
The story is even worse in the Indigenous healthcare sector, isn't it? Is some extra effort needed there? Is a different strategy needed there?
Well, to some extent, it's the same issue
and
same set of issues, the same risk factors. They're amplified because the disease occurs more at a younger age. It tends to be more aggressive. And of course, often it's complicated in at least half the Indigenous population by remoteness and difficulty in providing a health system which is as good as central big capital cities. And of course, otherwise, it comes down to the same kind of things: keeping kids active, you know, getting adequate nutrition into mothers, getting adults checked for their diabetes, for other risk factors, etc. What is different, of course, is the need to be culturally both sensitive and to have a degree of Aboriginal control in the delivery of healthcare, because we know that works much better in the longer term.
Mm. Any big events coming up for the Heart Foundation? What's on your calendar for the next 6 months or so?
Oh, every day is a big event. But Heart Week's May the 7th this year,
right,
and
yep.
That's always a bit of a focus. But really, we'd like to think that this is something that's sustained throughout the year and that captures both government and community attention.
Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.